Talkback with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to my program, The Issues That Make a Difference in Our Lives. Today, I'll be talking about how we can build a new economy. That's one little commentary. I'll also be talking about, they're now saying that nearly one in five Americans had mental illness this past year. I challenge that. And I'm going to ask you to call in and share your opinions on both of these. On the health issue, we're going to do a classroom on the air, in-depth on SAMe, very important nutrient. Most Americans don't know about it, hence they don't use it. And also 15 dangerous drugs that Big Pharma wants us to take. Do we need them? What aren't they telling us that could adversely affect our health? From health, nutrition, healing, and social issues, this is the one place in all of radio where progressive and independent minds with humanistic values and looking at what we can do from the positive side of life come to meet and greet. You'll have a chance to share your views on all the issues I talk about today. In the second part of our program, we'll be joined by Dr. Martin Feldman. The doctor is in. And he's going to talk about high-density lipoproteins, the good ones, low-density lipoproteins, the bad ones. You hear them discussed all the time, but you never hear anything that gives you a real understanding of them. What's a normal cholesterol? What's high? What's medium? What's low? What about triglycerides? How do you cleanse the liver and get the excessive enzymes down? One of my listeners today called in. I was working all day. I'm doing a major manuscript and writing a script and for this film that we're shooting. And this guy said, Gary, my brother is content to continue with his doctor's prescription for Lipitor. Is there any natural substance that could help him? Because he's getting an awful lot of side effects from the Lipitor. I gave him some input. Dr. Feldman will give you that input as well. So you see, we have a full hour. Let's get started. First, a challenge. We are being told that more and more Americans are suffering from various forms of mental disorders. In effect, imbalances in our brain chemistry. And therefore, they should seek medical help. One of the major advocates of mental health screening for all was George Bush. He wanted to start with children with what was called teen screen. Well, there are a lot of problems with teen screen. There's a lot of problems with any mass screening because there's no science to back up the subjective way that they do an analysis. For example, one young woman who's going to be appearing on this program when I do a panel on drugging of our children later this week. In fact, I have several panels. Let me just give you a quick preview of that. I have major in-depth investigative reports, new stuff on 9/11, revisiting JFK's assassination, new information. Revisiting Robert Kennedy's assassination, new information. Revisiting Martin Luther King's assassination, new information. New information on vaccines and the connection between the vaccines and autism. New information on the safety of our food and the law that they're trying to put through Senate Bill 510. And background on the people who say that we need this law. Where did they get their money? We'll show you. So we have a lot of major investigations. In any case, they're going to be bringing out the newest Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, number 5, of psychiatry. They just keep adding conditions that virtually anyone in this audience could end up being diagnosed as suffering from. Well, here's their latest, and I'll quote this from CNBC as presented by Reuters. More than 45 million Americans, or 20% of the U.S. adult population, have some form of mental illness this past year. And 11 of those have a real serious illness. And they're saying that young adults ages 18 to 25 had the highest level of mental illness at 30%. Those age 50 and older had the lowest. And the rate is slightly higher than the year before. Quote, too many Americans are not getting the help they need. Okay, that's pharma speak for get diagnosed so you can get drugged and stay on those drugs forever. Now they have listed some things you just can't believe. For example, if you're really interested in your health, then you're mentally ill. This morning when I was getting my juice after a long run in the health food store, a fellow came up to me and I'd given him some advice and some nutritional input on doing the Ironman. It's the toughest grueling competition you could imagine. And he did very well. And he's now at the top in his age group in the United States in his track and field athletic competitions. And he's very healthy. And he's 41. And he's just really going strong. But he had to take a step of getting even more awareness of how the DNA is hurt and damaged when you start exercising. How many free radicals you create, the more you exercise, the more free radicals. That's bad. Of course, it's good for your blood pressure, your pulse rate, your musculature, detoxification, feel-good hormones. All those are good. It's good for your liver, good for your kidneys. But it actually prematurely ages you. So you have to trap those free radicals. So I call it simple compensation. So you want to get healthier, so you exercise, but you're creating more free radicals, so you take more antioxidants. You take them in natural form and supplement, both. And then you help repair the DNA. So now, even though you're training harder, you're actually helping stave off premature aging. That man today would be considered excessively mentally ill because he is a high-level competitive athlete and very interested in his health. Now, it's not being a competitive athlete that gets him the diagnosis. It's wanting to be healthy and have a good, healthy diet in the process of becoming an athlete. That makes him mentally ill. If you speak up to any authority at all, parents, teachers, governmental agencies, bureaucracies, corruption, that's now mental illness. If you don't speak up for yourself, that's a mental illness. So in other words, unless you're willing to be a clone, a Wonder Bread, where you have no dynamic in your voice or your attitude, and you just go along with what you're told, then you've got mental illness. And no one in Congress, no one in the medical community, no one in the scientific community, no one in the journalistic community has stood up and said, this is all nonsense. You're liars. Your science is corrupt. There's nothing authentic about what you're doing. Instead, they all go along with it. And that's the problem. Here's my question then for you. And by the way, understand that I'm interested in your ideas. I believe we have a lot of dynamic people in this audience who have some very good understandings of the problems and solutions. So I want you to tell us what you would say if you had a national forum about how they're diagnosing more and more people solely to create more profit streams for pharmaceutical companies. You have a chance to speak back to the medical community, to the pharmaceutical community, to our government. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, here is my next idea for you. I believe that we can all be a part of building a new economy. Now, of course, that's an idealistic notion. The reality is that about 5% maximum ever throughout human history actually participated in anything constructive. The average person sits on the sideline as a spectator, wanting to be entertained by all this. But there are those who actually do good things. They'll protest, they'll change the way they shop, they'll change their habits in the positive sense. So here are some suggestions for you. Right now, we're told by our government that we should be seeking a part of the American dream. The real estate market is down, so buy a home. Become a home owner. And, of course, if you do that, there is no dream in that. You're just going to become a part of the mortgage debt nightmare. So stop buying homes. Buying property in the next year or two is a good idea, but only property in the right areas that have sustainable possibilities, meaning outside of the suburban and urban areas, but close enough that you can commute or market products to that. Because the future for a lot of people is going to have to be returning to a less hectic and a more craft, home-based business, self-sufficient community type of living. So don't buy homes, sell apartments. But don't do so in a panic. Do so in a reasonable way. Next, mandate right now that we should have a single healthcare payer system. We should scrap the existing system completely and then mandate that you cannot be excluded from pre-existing conditions. Children should be included. And how would we pay for this? Relatively simple. We would take away 80% of the military-industrial budget. And how will we do that since both the Blue Dog Democrats, or the corporate Democrats, which are about 75% of the Democrats, and almost 95% of Republicans, with the exception of those that are more true conservative and libertarian, who don't like the military-industrial complex, then get in some studies that show how much of what we spend in the military-industrial complex does not in any authentic and legitimate way protect our national security. And I've done the research myself. I'm going to be publishing a paper on it showing that 80% of all the money we spend on the military-industrial complex does nothing to protect us. But it sure does a lot for the congressmen who then go on to work as consultants, the generals who go on to work as consultants for the military-industrial corporations. So that's something we could do. Also, we have been told that we should allow the very wealthy to accumulate more capital at the most preferred interest rates so that there will be a trickling down. That's not been the case, and it won't be the case. That is a myth. And in fact, what it does, it creates an enormous have and have-nots. And therefore, I believe that we should mandate in protest that no corporation or individual should have the right to trade in currencies, commodities essential to life. That means food, water, oil, gas, and land. So if we don't allow people to speculate and get into derivatives and artificially force the price up or down of a given item, that we then are not the victims of that. That would help everyone on the planet, except the very rich who don't have to work. And they do this in some maniacal manner. They're very insecure individuals. But if we don't protest it, they'll continue doing it. Also, demand from yourself that you will not buy anything that is not made in the USA. That means you're going to have to do a little homework. But there are numerous websites that show all the different things from clothing to cars, anything that you need that... In anything, a juice extractor, you'll find that it is made in the United States. Also, that would then create a greater demand for things sold in the United States, made in the United States. And stop buying from all national, multinational brands. Any corporation that engages in global enterprise, stop buying from them. Take your money out of their stocks. Don't support them on any level. Now, the average person is selfish. They don't care. They're completely into the denial that somehow there's going to be a consequence. Then when it happens to them, they sit there and cry like, you know, gee whiz, look at me, I'm a victim. And I say, a victim of what? When did you stand up and protest? When did you care to look at the impact of what you're doing? Whether it's the plastic bags you use or the food that you eat on your health or the money you spend you don't have. So I don't want to hear any more people believing only after the fact that someone should have been awake at the wheel, but they chose not to want to drive. It's our responsibility now to really pay attention to everything, since we know that virtually 95% of all politicians are pathologically liars. They are dysfunctional. They're not decent human beings. And the media that supports them and the multinationals behind them and the very powerful elitists behind them, they're all gaming the system in every institution. So drop out of these institutions. Stop supporting them. So that way corporations won't co-opt our democracy. And also protest, write letters to the Supreme Court, write letters to Congress to challenge the Supreme Court on granting corporations the same rights of legal personhood. And that means then they buy our democracy. And also, I believe that we have taken away the regulations that control those people who are greedy, and we should reestablish the Glass-Steagall Act, and we should also put a moratorium on all home foreclosures. Then, if you're the average person, start looking at what else you could do with yourself or other people to broaden your skills, especially those skills in the areas where it's most likely to be useful and where you'll be able to have gainful employment in the future. Most people stick with one career, one set of learning tools, and when they're challenged on that, then they go into a depression. Well, okay, learn new things. So those are ways that we can build a new economy and start looking towards moving to a more rural environment. I believe that that is the future. Your thoughts? Call us at 888-874-4888. And finally, 15 drugs that Big Pharma is asking us to take, and we do so without questioning their legitimacy. Right at the top of the list, Lipitor and Crestor. Now, according to Martha Rosenberg at Alternet, why is Lipitor the best-selling drug in the world? Well, because almost every adult with high LDLs, the bad cholesterol, is on it. And in fact, they almost had 3 million children on it, according to Consumers Report. And that is a problem. Dr. Martin Feldman will tell you what you can do in a natural way. But doctors will say statins are overprescribed and that there's terrible side effects, weakness, dizziness, pain, arthritis. And you have to balance that. And here's what one person said, quote, "My older patients literally do without food so they can buy these medicines that make them sicker, feel bad, and do nothing to improve life." Quote, "There is no scientific basis for treating older folks with $300 a month plus meds that have serious side effects and largely unknown multiple drug interactions." Unquote. Then Yaz, Y-A-Z, and Yasmin, Y-A-S-M-I-N. Well, they told us that it was the perfect drug. Birth control pills that can also clear up your acne and treat your PMS. But now they've made PMS into a mental disorder. Premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or PMDD. And but what did we learn about this Bayer launch product in 4 years ago? That it was, quote, going beyond birth control. And here's how bad it got. 18-year-olds were coming down with blood clots and gallbladder disease and heart attacks and strokes. 15-year-old Katie Kettner had her gallbladder removed. Susan Gallants had a stroke and part of her skull removed. College student Michelle Flegger, 18, collapsed and died of a pulmonary thrombolism, and all from taking Yaz. And while TV ads for Yaz 2008 were so misleading, the FDA ordered Bayer to run correction ads. Still, they didn't take it off the market. Still, they made a lot of money. And that's how it went. And yet it harmed countless women. And why is Yaz sometimes deadly? It includes a drug that was never before marketed in the U.S. and apparently causes elevated potassium and heart problems and a change in the acid balance of the blood. Who knew? But not only is Bayer still marketing it, women do not receive test subject compensation for using it either. It's according to Martha Rosenberg. Now, what about Tomapax, T-O-M-O-P-A-X? Why would Americans take an epilepsy seizure drug for pain? The same reason they'll take an antipsychotic for the blues and an antidepressant for knee pain. Good consumer marketing. In August, the FDA ordered a warning of aseptic meningitis for brain inflammation and on one of the drugs, but it's still the darling of military and civilian doctors for unapproved pain and migraine. And that's unfortunate. All seizure drugs increase the risk of suicidal thoughts and behaviors according to their mandated labels. In fact, an April article in the Journal of the American Medical Association found seizure drugs linked to 26 suicides, 801 attempted suicides, and 41 violent deaths. All three drugs can make you lose your memory and your hair, and yet people continue to take it. And then you have TMF blockers, Prolia, according to the work of Martha Rosenberg. If you think Pharmi is, quote, producing a lot of expensive, dangerous, injectable drugs lately, you're right. Yesterday's blockbuster pills have been supplanted with vaccines and biologics that are more lucrative and safer from generic competition, that is. The problem is not only are biologics like Humira and Prolia creepy and dangerous, they're made from genetically engineered hamster cells and suppress the actual immune system. The diseases they treat are sold diseases, meaning they're not real to healthy people. Recently, thousands of college students in Chicago found inserts in their campus newspapers hawking these drugs for Crohn's disease and rheumatoid arthritis. And unfortunate, do healthy people really want to suppress their body's tumor necrosis factor and invite tuberculosis? Seriously, that's what happens. You can invite melanoma, lymphoma, quote, and unusual cancers in children and teenagers. That's on the label. Nor is it clear that these drugs work. The Humira label warns against developing, quote, a new or worsening psoriasis. But hold on. Isn't psoriasis what it's supposed to be treating? Yes. So it's not only not working, but it actually causes it? Yes. And then we have Chandix, C-H-A-N-D-I-X. How unsafe is the anti-smoking drug Chandix? After 397 FDA cases of possible psychosis, 227 domestic reports of suicidal acts, thoughts or behaviors of 28 suicides, the government banned pilots and air traffic controllers and interstate truck and bus drivers from taking it. But 4 months later, some military pharmacies banned the drug, which reduces both cravings and smoking pleasure. But why isn't it banned? Well, because I guess it's too profitable to ban, and the FDA, as we know, is in their pocket. Ambien, you've all seen the ads, the sleeping pills, Lunesta, Sonata, only decrease get-to-sleep time by 18 minutes, according to the National Institute of Health. But Ambien has additional catch-it compared to its other competitive drugs. It is the drug Tiger Woods reportedly used when cavorting with his consorts. And former U.S. Representative Patrick Kennedy was taking it when he crashed his Ford Mustang while driving to Capitol Hill in the middle of the night. In fact, Ambien's legendary side effects, people walk, drive, make phone calls, and even have sex while sleeping, has increased traffic accidents, with some drivers not even recognizing arresting officers. So, why aren't we up in arms? Well, we don't get up in arms. And tamoxifen, remember that whole month we just passed where everyone was out there wearing their pink to support breast cancer awareness? Is it a coincidence tamoxifen maker AstraZeneca founded Breast Cancer Awareness Month and makes carcinogenic agrochemicals that cause breast cancer? Both the original safety studies of tamoxifen, which causes cancer and birth defects, is a chemical cousin of organochlorine pesticides in its original marketing were riddled with scientific error. In fact, FDA objected to AstraZeneca's marketing claim of breast cancer prevention and the casting of endometrial cancer as an uncommon event 10 years ago. Yet today, PharmaLink doctors still tell women to take tamoxifen to prevent breast cancer, even though the American Journal of Medicine study found the average life expectancy increases 9 days. And Public Citizen says for every case of breast cancer tamoxifen prevents of 9 days, there's a life-threatening case of blood clots, stroke, and endometrial cancer. A gynecologic and obstetric investigation study shows an example of tamoxifen's downside. 57.2% of women on continuous tamoxifen develop atrophy of the lining of their uterus, 35.7% coexisting hyperplasia, and 8% uterine polyps. And I'm not even talking about the eye memory problems or the tamoxifen cousin, Vista, that Pharma is also pushing, which has, quote, death from stroke warning on its label. And finally, this is for Sally Field. Beneva. Why is the bone drug Beneva available in a convenient once-monthly formulation? Could patients balk at the fact that after you take it, you have to avoid lying down for at least 60 minutes, quote, to help decrease the risk of problems in the esophagus and stomach, unquote. Wait at least 60 minutes before eating or drinking anything except water. Never take it with mineral water, sparkling water, coffee, tea, milk, juice, or other oral medicines, including calcium, antacids, or vitamins. And, of course, quote, do not chew or suck, unquote. Nor should you take Beneva. Say the warnings, quote, if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or continued or severe heartburn, have low blood calcium or severe kidney disease, or if severe bone, joint, or muscle pain, unquote. Well, drugs like Beneva for the bones and Fosamax are a good example of FDA approving once unapproved drugs by transferring risk onto the public shoulders with, quote, we warned you labels. And Primpro or Premarin. You think Pfizer's hormone drugs Primpro and the related Premarin and Provera would be history in light of their peak perks? 26% increase in breast cancer, 41% increase in strokes, 29% increase in heart attacks, 22% increase in cardiovascular disease, double the rates of blood clots and links to deafness, urinary incontinence, cataracts, gout, joint degeneration, asthma, lupus, scleroderma, dementia, Alzheimer's disease, lung and ovarian and breast, endometrial and gallbladder, and melanoma cancers. But you'd be wrong. Even as we speak, Pfizer linked researchers are testing cognitive and cardiovascular, quote, benefits of hormone therapy. Some cases using our tax dollars at major universities, even though the cancer rate in the United States and Canada fell when women quit hormone therapy in 2002. So is our FDA looking out for us? Never. It looks out only exclusively for the pharmaceutical interest. Anyone in government interested in helping us? No. How about the media? No. Well, how about the left journalism? No. Well, surely one of the liberal radio and television shows sticking up for women? No. Nope, sorry. You're on your own. And that's the way it is, except for here, because we do care that you get the information. Back in a moment with your calls. 888-874-4888.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can.
I'd like to welcome all of you to this program. I'm Gary Knoll. Martin Feldman in about 10 minutes, but we're going to take your calls now. Let's say hello to Laura in Toronto. Hi, Laura.
Gary, great to be on your show, but I just want to comment. I used to have a rash around my nose that was itchy that started when I was about 11 years old. And then I had to see the dermatologist, and he'd always put me on tetracycline to take the rash away. And then I was at a health show about 10 years later, and I tried a magnetic water cup, and it magically removed the rash. So every time I drink from the magnetic water cup, I no longer need the tetracycline. So I've been off tetracycline for about 20 years now, and I no longer get a rash. So I thought that was very exciting to know about the magnetic water cup. But I have another question here. I have a friend, and she's a 50-year-old woman, and she's anemic, and her hemoglobin levels have been at 60 to 70 for 30 years. She has to go to the hospital about every 2 weeks for intravenous iron called Venoder, 100 milligrams. And she also overworks herself at her job. And okay. I'm asking, is the intravenous at the hospital safe?
We're having a bad connection. I have a hollow.
Oh. Yeah, can you...
Okay. Good. First, anemia is not... It's very common around the world. Millions of Americans have anemia or suffer from anemia. And what it is, it's either a reduction in the number of red blood cells or the amount of hemoglobin in the blood. And what that does, it creates a decrease in the amount of oxygen that the blood is able to carry. And then when that happens, it sets off a cascade because then anemia reduces the oxygen available to the cells of the body. And as a result, you have less energy. You can't create the same adenosine triphosphate. In other words, the little energy factories of the body are not working as they should. And then you end up with muscular activity and cell buildup and repair processes that are affected. You become less efficient. Everything kind of slows down. And when the brain lacks adequate oxygen, then you end up having less sharpness. But it's not a disease. It's merely a symptom of various illnesses. And so you have to take a careful look, and I suggest using kinesiology, and that will help you with the production of red blood cells. And, in fact, Dr. Martin Feldman is going to be on in a moment, and he can go a little further in this. And there's a lot of causes, hormone disorders, and it can, if you have chronic inflammation in the body, infections, hemorrhoids, heavy menstrual bleeding, repeated problems with liver, thyroid disorders, arthritis. A lot of these are contributing factors. And then you have pernicious anemia, which is a severe form of anemia. It's due to vitamin B12 deficiency. And they simply can't absorb any form of vitamin B12 from the gastrointestinal tract, and therefore intravenous is what they have to get. And when you have malabsorption, that can cause pernicious anemia, and that's due to have poor diet, meaning eating too fast, eating under stress, eating the wrong combinations, eating and drinking acidic liquids like a soft drink or coffee, which creates a highly acidic medium, all cause malabsorption syndrome. Even taking antibiotics, which destroy the good bacteria in your gut, and then trying to take a food, and the food is going to be poorly absorbed because you don't have a good balance of the bacteria. So if you have low levels of vitamin B12, you're going to be depressed, you're going to have frequently anemia, and lack energy. And the most common cause of anemia is an iron deficiency, and iron is a very, very important factor. It's a mineral, and it's used to make hemoglobin, and that's the component of the red blood cell that attaches to oxygen and transport. And red blood cells exist only in oxygenated to oxygenate the body, and they don't have a long lifespan, about 110 to 120 days. So if you are deficient, as your friend is, the formation of her red blood cells is impaired. So what can we do about it? Well, there's a lot. First, we can do a whole detoxification, and that detoxification is crucial, and we want to get on high-quality fiber, and preferably fruit fibers. Raspberry, blackberry, cherry, and blueberry are the best fibers, along with vitamin C, and then aloe vera. And then folic acid at 1 milligram methylated and B12, 1 milligram methylated, taken together. Now, yes, iron at 100 milligrams when you have this, generally prescribed by a physician, and if you take vitamin C with iron, it is better absorbed. You can take like Floradix, F-L-O-R-A-D-I-X, and that's good. And if you're going to have a prescription, your doctor, by injection, generally 2 cc's once a week. And it's essential in red blood cell production that way. And then the B-complex, generally 100 milligrams each day. Extra pantothenic acid, 600 milligrams. And then 5 to 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Also, I would use coenzyme A, which supports the immune system's detoxification, and generally take that along with coenzyme Q10. Copper at 2 milligrams is needed in red blood cell production, and then SAMe, what I was going to talk about a little later, that helps reduce stress, and you said she's stressed, and then also vitamin E, that's important, but bilberry, cherry, dandelion, herbs, golden seal, grape skins, hawthorn, berry, mulline, nettle, Oregon grapefruit, paldiarco, red raspberry, shepherd's purse, and yellow dock are all good for anemia. And so then a diet that's rich in anemia would include, let's see, apples and apricots and asparagus and broccoli and green leafy vegetables, parsley and plums and prunes and purple grapes and raisins, turnip greens. Those are all good. And so hope that helps you. Thank you very much for your call. We'll take another call. Let's say hello to Mike from New Jersey. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Gary. Thanks for everything you're doing for us. And quick question regarding what you were talking about earlier, USA-based service providers and quality. My question was in regards to cell phone recommendations. And cell phone service providers.
Could you? I didn't. My mic was just shut off for a second. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah. Do you have recommendations for a U.S.-based quality cell phone provider service company?
I don't have. I don't know one off the top of my head. What I would suggest is that you just go to Google. And you look under American companies or green companies that are in America. So you want to get a green product because you want one that will be important in not polluting the environment, and one that's not just an obsolescence-based product and that's made in the United States. Then you can confirm where it's made in the United States. Okay, all the best to you. Let's say hello to Al from Long Island. Hi, Al. Al, are you there? Well, Al must not be there. Right? Who else do we have? We have someone else from Long Island there. Hi, you're on the air. Speak up, please. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. Yes, Gary, I wondered if you're aware of this campaign called Crash J.P. Morgan Buy Silver that Max Kaiser announced on Alex Jones and elsewhere, and what your opinion is of it. I find it interesting, but I think the people that are promoting it keep saying that what J.P. Morgan does is fraud. So aren't there other ways to combat that other than a populist campaign like this? Or do you think it's a good idea, and do you think it's possible if everyone buys, you know, 1 ounce of silver that, you know, that could actually ever happen, basically?
It's not going to happen. Understand that no matter what ideas we come up to... I'm getting a lot of feedback on this. Just hang up and listen to me over the phone, okay? Or over the internet. The issue is this. Anytime you have people who are coming with ideas of what they could do that's constructive, they have to understand that the vast majority of people will not support them, because the vast majority of people have participated in the problems that have gotten us to where we're at a tipping point. It would be like asking everybody who's morbidly overweight or just obese or just unhealthy and overweight to give up those bad habits for their own sake and for the sake of their children and family. And then in descending order, for the sake of the animals that they're eating, they shouldn't, and for the sake of the environment that they're consuming massive amounts, leaving an enormous ecological footprint. If you looked at how many pounds of food and beef and eggs and chicken and dairy and how many acres of food had to be grown on that, and how many gallons of water had to be used to irrigate that, and how many pounds of pesticide had to be used to spray on that, and how far that all had to be transported so that a person could simply satisfy their immediate desires for a particular type of food, and then the amount they're eating. We should not start off with the idea that people are ignorant. That is the problem. We keep giving everyone a pass, saying, oh, you didn't know that smoking was bad. You didn't know drinking was bad. You didn't know any of this was bad. Well, that's nonsense. If people did not want to know, it's because there was a reason not to know. And I believe it follows back to what Fritz Perl said, the father of Gestalt, a fear of knowing is a fear of doing. If you know that what you're doing is really going to hurt you, then you have to own the responsibility that that is on your conscience. But if you can always say, well, no one told me, you know, this was bad, then you can give yourself an out. And I just believe that as a society, 95% of Americans do the wrong thing, fully aware that what they're doing is wrong, but figure that it won't happen to them. I've had it in my own family, my own brother, older brother. He would smoke 3 to 4 pack cigarettes a day. And when I'd say, Howard, you know what you're doing. Oh, you know, people smoke to be 100, and, you know, and I say, yeah, for every person that reaches 100 who smoke, there's going to be 10 million who die of cancer and emphysema earlier. But if that's your mindset, you're not going to change it. Well, if a person is selfish in one part of their life, what's the likelihood that they're not going to be selfish in most other parts of their life? If they're willing to deny the myth of their story in one part, what's the likelihood they're going to be able to deny the myth in all parts of their life? And I'll finish with this one concept, and it's this. We are primarily a dysfunctional society that is selective in what we choose to be functional in. But underlying that function is more often than not the feeling of desperation that if someone just took down the barriers, then we could let it rip inside. So imagine what would happen if we decided to let all the people pay for their groceries as they left the store without having anyone check to see if they were accurate. If we took out the windows in all stores in towns that had a low crime rate and no murders, with the trust that people would not steal what was in the windows. That if we never had to lock our doors again, our cars or anything else, that we could leave cash in the on the dashboard. Do you imagine what kind of chaos would befall us in 24 hours? If you're only able to become civil because you are forced to with the fear or threat of arrest or punishment, then it says that without that deterrent, the dark side dominates, which means that we have a dark-sided dominated society. It starts in our youth, who says, don't blame us, our parents are baby boomers, they're the cause of all of our dysfunction. You know, they told us we were perfect and didn't have to do anything, that we just had to show up and we'd be rewarded. So here we are, we're selfish, we're in need of distraction, and we have no attention, we're not going to master anything, we really don't care about you. And we don't intend to care about you. We care about us because you cared about us. You know, you gave us everything. Everything we wanted, there was a safety net. No matter how we screwed up, we were never responsible at the end of the day. And so here we are. And then the other people say, well, we're older now. Don't look at us. We put our time in. We did our work. We want to stay in our gated communities and stay the hell out of them, especially if you have a pet or if you have a kid. And it, you know, we're here and we're guarded for the rest of our lives till we die. We want our comforts. Don't bother us. And then you got the others say, what can I do? You know, I'm only a person and I'm... And then you look around saying, well, who's taking care of society? Who cares about society? And you find about 5% of the people. And then you think, well, that's not good. Well, hey, 5% is still about 16 million people. 16 million people could get a lot done if they ever got organized. And then the empowered minority always will cause more positive change than the disempowered majority. The trouble is, we like to think that when a person doesn't do something good, it's all they have to do is be motivated. Well, if the only reason someone does something good is because they're motivated, it means without motivation, they do not have the self-motivation to come from the spiritual side. So at the end of the day, people who are motivated by their spiritual side are going to consistently make the right effort for themselves and other people. They will live in harmony with others and the society. When they see what has to be done, they will make those changes irrespective of how uncomfortable that change may be. The rest of society is coming from the conditioned and dark side. And if they get away with something, fine. If someone else can take the blame for their mistakes, good. If they don't have to be called upon to stand up and make any risks by being affirmative, better still. If they can spend their whole life distracted, okay with them. Just give them their games, give them their distractions, their bread and circuses, give them what's crunchy and salty, sweet and soft, and they're okay. And if that doesn't work, then give them medications. If that doesn't work, give them tranquilizers. If that doesn't work, let them gamble. If that doesn't work, let them drink, smoke, methamphetamine, marijuana. Buy what they can't have and live what they consider a dream, which is really a myth. But don't wake them up because you get them angry. And they won't look at the real cause of their problem, them, and what they've supported without critical judgment. So that's the hard reality of this. So buying gold or silver is not going to change diddly squat in the larger scheme. And just eating organic and not becoming engaged is not going to mean it either. Look at all the mindless clones, the trendy shoppers at Whole Foods, big health food store. The largest department's alcohol, the next is meat, and the next is processed carbohydrate. If you took all the junk out of Whole Foods, you're left with about a 2,500 normal health food store. Heaven forbid we should actually stop supersizing everything from egos to entertainment extravaganzas, to the need to become a part of that and just go back to a simpler, kinder, more patient, and more authentic way of living. For those who will, they'll have a positive future. For the others, not so. Thank you for your call. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment with Dr. Martin Feldman. Please stay with us. Let's go over to Dr. Martin Feldman now. Dr. Martin Feldman is a board-certified neurologist in New York, and he's here to talk about, he's a holistic physician, and he's here to dispel some of the myths about the high and low-density lipoprotein, cholesterol levels, what they should be, what they shouldn't be.
Gary.
Hi, Marty.
Hi, Gary. Why don't I talk a little bit about anemia?
Just a moment, though, because I want you to get these other two things.
All right. Just very quickly, anyone who suspects anemia, which is very difficult for you to know unless you have specific blood loss somewhere like heavy menstrual flow or if you have severe digestive symptoms where you're not absorbing well, you should always ask your doctor to get the complete blood count, the CBC with differential. Complete blood count with differential. It's a $35 test, very inexpensive test, and it will show the amount of red blood cells, amount of hemoglobin, and the MCV, which is the size of those red cells. If you have an iron deficiency anemia, the MCV is going to be small, the hemoglobin will be low, and that's easy because you know it's a iron deficiency anemia. But more common and more difficult is a B12 anemia, and in that case, the MCV, the mean corpuscular volume, the size of the red cells will actually increase to a 97, 98, 99, 100. If you have a high MCV, next step would be, what do we do? Well, that's a B12 issue. You can usually solve it with B12 lozenges under the tongue, whereby it'll absorb well under the tongue. You might need up to 4,000 or 5,000 MCG per day, something in that ballpark. You can watch your MCV to have it change over time. You can also do what's called methylmalonic acid in the urine, a very, very expensive but very accurate test of B12 is methylmalonic acid in the urine. A very poor test of vitamin B12 is vitamin B12 in the serum. If it just says vitamin B12 serum, that test is very inaccurate, and it doesn't give you a proper answer to your B12 question. Also, if there's a question of iron deficiency in any range in terms of the CBC, the next step would be the ferritin level. Ferritin would be the next step of iron deficiency. To get a real iron profile, you need the CBC and the ferritin both.
Good. Now let's go to LDL and HDL cholesterol.
Well, these are very important because they have very different functions. The HDL, the high-density lipoprotein, HDL cholesterol, is the good cholesterol. It is very, very helpful to the body, and here's why it is so helpful. It kind of works, it works with the LDL as follows. The low-density lipoprotein tends to be the patch. If you have an endothelium, if you have the lining of an artery, especially coronary artery, your heart artery, if there is a rupture there of a cell or an irritation of that cell wall, that whole artery, then the LDL comes in to patch it up. It's sort of a patch like on a bicycle tire. So the LDL comes in first, and it may stay there for a while. But then the next step is once the LDL is finished with the patch, the HDL is supposed to come by and take it away. So the HDL transports the LDL away. Otherwise, the LDL stays and causes oxidation and causes a great deal of harm. So then we ask ourselves, well, how do we know the ratio between these two, what's important in terms of a blood report? On every cholesterol report, you should have the following data, very, very simple data. Every blood report will have it. The total cholesterol, the LDL, the bad cholesterol, and the HDL, the good cholesterol, three numbers. There's also sometimes the VLDL, yet another number. What's critical is the ratio between the total and the HDL. Let's assume your total is 200 and your LDL is, let's say 200, and your HDL is only 40. 200 total, HDL only 40. Your ratio is 5. 200 by 40 is 5. If your HDL, the good, if the HDL gets better, comes up a bit, let's say your HDL comes up to 50, now your ratio is 4. So as the good HDL rises, the ratio actually falls down, so it's paradoxical. You want the lowest ratio. 3.5 is great. The best anyone can do is basically around 2.5. But that is not the whole answer, because most doctors will look just at the total. They get all shaken up about the total being over 200. But if your HDL is enough to counterbalance to get a ratio of 3.5, you're okay. You're not in bad shape. So that's a very simple thing. Always ask for the ratio of the total versus the HDL, the good kind.
Now, what can you do if a person has an elevated LDL, the bad cholesterol, and an elevated overall cholesterol?
Well, then you have to go to figure out the next step, which would be a few. You'd have to have individual, we'll say, approach. The first thing would be to get the liver to behave itself, to try to rebalance your liver. And detoxification, as done with the health support groups over the years, is a very, very good start for getting the liver back on track to behave itself in terms of its production of the good and the bad cholesterol. But beyond the liver, we have many, many other natural substances that will help the cholesterol picture. And we don't have to go to Lipitor so rapidly as most physicians will do in America. It's a very, very popular drug. It's out there in an enormous amount and basically has many side effects for many, many people. So we want to go toward more natural. And besides the detoxification, there's just some basic, basic nutrients that might help a great deal. First would be garlic, very simple garlic, both food and otherwise. Niacin as inositol hexanicotinate. It's a little complicated, but we have inositol, which is a special niacin, which is basically a low-flush niacin, very, very helpful. Lecithin can be very helpful. Now, polycosinol, very, very good in terms of safety and effectiveness, and we start out with 10 milligrams. We may go double that, or occasionally, under certain circumstances, maybe even higher. Beta-cystosterol, plant sterols, Google lipids, all these are a little complex, but they're out there. They are very, very small in risk. They're not that expensive. And one other one that's a little more complex is red yeast rice extract. Red yeast rice is very much like, I would call it a potential risk, whereby if we do give red yeast rice and it's effective, we then have to cover it with coenzyme Q10. Those two would go together. So we have all these natural approaches beyond Lipitor. they should be part of everybody's at least awareness, and every physician should be knowing about this, but they don't.
Good information, Marty Feldman. Thank you very much, Marty. What are you going to talk about next week?
I'm going to do anemia maybe in greater depth, because anemia is a very, very basic topic. It affects everybody potentially. It's very it's sort of under the radar.
I wouldn't do anemia. I did that tonight. Let's do a big problem in America today, gastric reflux. That's an epidemic level, and indigestion.
Okay.
All right, indigestion, gastric reflux. Marty Feldman can be reached at 212-744-4413. By the way, is Howard on the line? I wasn't told whether he's here. No. All right, let's go over and say hello to Michael Rupert, whose show follows this here on the Progressive Radio Network. Hi, Marty.
Marty?
Oh, no, hi. Hi, Michael.
You do this to me every week.
I want to make sure you're awake.
You just like the idea of me spitting tea all over my keyboard.
What's on the topic tonight?
Well, we have a great guest tonight. He's an investigative journalist, and you know I have a thing for investigative journalists, named David Gumpert. He wrote a book called The Raw Milk Revolution, and he's really been digging into all these issues now about food rights and what may or may not be happening with them. So we're going to talk about S-510, which just passed the Senate this last Friday, and some changes, and we're going to try to separate the ice cream from the you-know-what about what people need to be afraid of and worried about with it.
Good. We look forward to that. Michael Rupert's program coming up right now on the Progressive Radio Network. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight, and we look forward to our show tomorrow. We have a wonderful group of people, conversations with remarkable minds, including Bruce Lipton coming back for an hour interview this week, and Gerald Salante giving us his take on what's happening now and what he predicts in the next 6 months. Have a nice day, everyone.